Welcome back to the Midday Mumbles podcast. I'm Gage.
I'm Isaac.
I'm Brody.
And this episode is brought to you by All's Well Mattresses. There's a link in the show notes in the description below to support the show. All's Well Mattresses offers entry-level price with a high level of features. If you use the link in the description, you will get access to free shipping, a 10-year limited warranty, and a 100-night risk-free trial with financing as low as 0% APR. Isaac, you like mattresses?
I mean, I like sleeping. I mean, yeah. I can't say my mattress is necessarily as high-end as an All-Swell mattress would be, but...
No, these are the tip of the top mattresses, or the best mattresses in the game. If you want to get sleep like the best of the best, then click the link in the description below. You'll be helping us out, and you get a hell of a good product.
You could really help me out if you go on allswells.com, buy me a mattress, mail it to me, and then I would really appreciate you.
Send one to Brody, too. Brody needs a mattress. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Yes, they are the supreme mattress.
So basically, their goal was to create an affordable mattress without sacrificing quality or luxury. The result, the All's Well Queen cost $345. That is not a typo. Just saying. That is a good price for a queen mattress. Link in the description below. So how's everyone doing? We're episode 4 here. How you doing, Isaac?
Doing pretty good. Kind of tired.
You're kind of tired? You slept all day.
I know.
How are you tired?
Because I don't know. I'm just tired.
Maybe not tired, but lethargic.
Well, like, I don't know. I find that if you sleep too little, you get tired, but if you sleep too much, you get tired.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way. I used to, I'd find myself sleeping in on the weekends till like fucking 12. I'd be so tired.
And how
it
works
that.
For me is I either set an alarm to like sleep too little because it's a school night or something, or I like don't set an alarm and I sleep for like 13 hours.
Wow. How is that possible?
I don't know, Gage, but I've definitely done it.
I'm at least good at waking myself up after I've had my 8 hours of sleep.
Maybe 13's a bit extreme. Probably more like 11 is standard, but...
That's not really much better, but...
Okay. No.
So, yeah, we're starting our first topic out. YouTube is back in the news this week. We talked about them a little bit last week. So we talked a little bit about the YouTube terms of service last week. Well, some new stuff has come out. Family-friendly content is becoming, air quotes, illegal, according to new FTC regulation. COPPA, I guess is how it's pronounced. And that stands for the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. So basically what that is it prohibits companies, tech companies like Facebook and Google, and, you know, everything like that, from collecting data from children under 13. So I know we've all done it. We've all created accounts before the recommended year. You can't have a Facebook until you're 13. You can't have a YouTube until you're 13. I remember creating those things when I was like 10. I mean, I know, Isaac, you've done that too, right?
Of course.
Yeah, Brody, probably.
Gmail accounts, yeah, but
yeah. I mean, we all do it. I mean, like your typical 5-year-old nowadays has a cell phone, so it's like
absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure the problem got worse.
So anyway, so YouTube got fined back in September $170 million from the FTC for breaking COPPA rules. And the FTC is no longer holding YouTube, the company, accountable anymore, but rather the creators who create the content are being held responsible.
Boo! So,
yeah, last episode I made a joke, and I probably shouldn't have. I didn't really know the extent of this, but... about the podcast, and I was uploading the podcast, and it had said something like, is this for children or not? And obviously I know our podcast isn't meant for kids, but I didn't know the significance of it. So apparently COPPA was created in 1998, but it didn't go into effect until 2000.
Probably by Satan. They're
well,
terrible.
Obviously the internet was so much different back in 1998. This rule was put into effect because of, there used to be chat rooms on the internet. It used to be more open. You know, there was no like security, 258-bit security. Like there was no SSL. There was none of that stuff. So back then the internet was more open. You had access to more things. And obviously I wasn't around back then, but I know I've done research into this. And the law was created because to protect kids on the internet. Well, now companies are collecting more and more data than they ever have, and especially YouTube. So I'm sure everyone here has seen an ad on YouTube or on the internet in general. You might be looking at shoes on Amazon or something, and then you go on a blog or something or like a news website, and you'll see that exact shoe brand as an ad. It'll be in like, huge lettering. This is a sale, good deal, whatever. Go to click the link and to get it. And I know we've all seen that, right, Isaac? You've seen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Obviously, Gage, the internet's littered with ads, and with Google doing their own like ad software type deal on websites, it's really easy just to throw some ads on whatever websites you want.
Well, they are user-based ads, and what that means is when you go on Amazon to look at that shoe, the website throws a cookie onto your browser. So then when you go on a website that supports ads, Google AdSense or whatever the company is that is offering those ads will show a user-based ad, such as that shoe company from that cookie. They review all your cookies, and they show you an ad that is going to make you click on it. So, in the COPPA doesn't allow kids under 13 to do that. So YouTube was fined the $170 million, and they announced the other day that creators have these two new options when they upload a video, and it's required. So if you click this video is not meant for kids, nothing happens except your video just won't be seen by kids or... your video just won't be served to kids that are under 13. If you click, yes, my video is meant for kids, that says that your video is meant for kids, obviously, but your channel will lose a lot of stuff, such as those user-based ads. It'll just show generic ads that probably people aren't going to click on. The comment section won't be allowed. There won't be any branding or watermarks. There'll be no donate button, none of those cards or end screens. No live chat or live chat donations. There won't even be a notification bell. There won't be super chats. There won't be any playlists. And the creators are going to lose upwards of 90% of their revenue. Now, that's a huge thing. That's a huge issue for a lot of creators. 90% of their revenue. I'm not the greatest at math, but that is a lot. It's a little bit.
It's kind of like government tax amount, but a lot more. A lot more.
So they're at risk of losing it, basically. And if the creator breaks the COPPA rules, they will be fined from the FTC a maximum of $42,530 per video, which is an offense. And I've seen a ton of creators on YouTube this week talking about this, and it's kind of scary because, Adpocalypse happened twice. There was two Adpocalypses, and they were a couple of years ago, and creators had to be clean in their videos. There was no more swearing. A lot of creators stopped, and it's kind of crazy what YouTube and the FTC consider kid content, things that are bright, colorful, animations, toy unboxings. Any of that stuff is considered kid friendly, and a lot of channels that weren't meant for kids are being turned into kid channels by YouTube. And obviously, if you're an animator who's making adult animations or, you're unboxing figurines or something, Your content isn't really aimed for kids. Losing stuff like the comment section and the notification bell suck because, and on top of that, the videos won't even be served in the recommended, so people won't even know you uploaded. It sucks because you're losing complete contact with your viewers, the people who watch you.
I'm sure they will give you the option to repeal it if they file you wrong, because I mean that would be a big
right, actually, but it's repealing it back to YouTube who deemed it unworthy. It's not like they're going to care much.
Actually, no, you can't appeal this at all. You can send feedback, but feedback is different from an appeal. It goes into a totally different section. Feedback is basically like, you know, we like this or we don't like this on YouTube. So it's a big deal. A lot of creators are quite scared about what the future is of their channel. I mean,
yeah, no, it's just the double standards of it all too, with the adpocalypse happening, and then everyone has all these videos that already exist that are meant to cater to the expectations of the adpocalypse, which would then be technically kid friendly because they cut out things like cussing and you know things that wouldn't be family friendly, that the ads wouldn't be served if they had done that stuff. And now they're coming out and they're finding people for having content like that and then serving it to non-kids and saying it's not for kids, but they just made it for the same audience they've always had with the changes in effect for the adpocalypse. Because they're finding pre-existing videos, right?
Yeah, any video that's on the platform. So there's about 24 million channels on YouTube. And the FTC says that they are going to comb through every channel that uploads content and they're going to review the content. And if it is not in the correct order that, you know, like if you're uploading adult content and you claim it's for kids, you're at risk of being fined. And if you upload kid content and it is considered adult content, that's also you're considered being fined because kids can still find the content, I guess, on their parents' accounts. And honestly, I don't think the government, the FTC, should be the people that are trying to protect kids online. I think that's something the parents should be doing. I mean,
right, maybe
me if I'm wrong.
Maybe the website should have some sort of thing up that's like, go ask your parent if you're allowed on here, if you're like a kid or something. You know, maybe you have to have an adult account that signs off on allowing you into the website and just to be treated like an adult. And then the liability is not on anyone. It's just the parent's choice to let the kid be served whatever the kid is served, you know?
We used like to see a few years ago, the FTC. Yeah. Yeah, continue, Brody.
No, I was just agreeing. That was a good idea. I think like, there should be more ways.
Maybe we should start fining parents for cussing around their kids and, you know, not being family friendly around their own kids. $40,000 fine.
Yeah.
Well, YouTube got in some trouble a couple of years ago, similar, and they created the YouTube Kids app, which has a lot of content. Like, so a lot of gaming content from channels such as the Diamond Minecart, Stampy Longhead, or whatever, like kid-friendly content was on this app. That's what it was meant for. And the FTC said, no, that's not good enough. Well, channels, a lot of creators without having access to things like being served in the recommendeds, and it's a total bitch if you're a kid-friendly content creator. Like the Diamond Minecart, for instance, these are the two big channels. I mean, they got Diamond Minecart has like 26 million subs, and the Stampy channel has like 10 million subs, and obviously they're Minecraft YouTubers, but that was the big thing that kids were watching back in the day, and they still are. They still get millions of views every month.
I mean, like, I'll shamefully admit that, like, when I was a little kid playing Minecraft, occasionally I would go on Diamond Minecart or whatever, and I mean, I look back at that stuff, and I'm like, oh, cringe, but...
Yeah,
you know, it was a phase. It was a thing. You know, it happened.
It's good content for it's good, clean content for kids, though. Like, it's good. And that's all on the YouTube Kids app. But I was on Twitter and I saw these people, these kid friendly creators were trending on Twitter, and their points are that if they lose complete contact from their viewers, like they don't get any feedback from their viewers, they get nothing, how are they going to be able to continue to create good content? Because you're completely cut off from your viewers. Like, there's no way for them to get in contact. And I think that the YouTube, and I like your idea, but I think YouTube ought to go one step further. And they even have this, they have a restricted profile. The schools use it. And that means that you can't see the comment section or anything. If a parent really doesn't want their kids to do that, there ought to be kind of like a kids mode where kids can't see the comment section or interact with them. But that shouldn't be site-wide for everyone, because every parent is different. Every parent was raised differently. Every parent has different values. And some people are a lot more lenient than others. And I just think banning this kind of, these features for creators who are making or trying to make kid content is kind of sad. But I mean, I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Right. And how are kids even going to get served kid friendly content now? You said they're taking them off like recommended and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no way so to how find, is I mean, a kid you have, that's using YouTube to watch kid friendly stuff supposed to even find the kid friendly stuff they're watching?
You have to know what you're looking for, I guess. Like, search it.
And then what does that mean for these channels that want to create kid-friendly stuff? Because, I mean, it's good. There should be kid-friendly stuff available for kids.
Family-friendly. Family-friendly should be a thing, right? I mean, there should be a ton of different kind. There should, like, that's what YouTube is. It's a place for a ton of different variants of content. There's stuff for young kids. There's stuff for kids growing, you know, preteens, teenagers, young adults, adults, older. I mean, there's even stuff for older people on YouTube. YouTube has such a wide variety of different content that no matter who you are on the platform, you're never going to get bored because there's so many hours of content. And I mean, honestly, I don't agree with the FTC on this. There is a way, though. This doesn't actually go in effect till January of 2020. They're not going to start combing through channels. There's a petition right now.
So there is time for you to go and like delete all your old content.
Well, kind yes, of. But
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
I don't think you should have to, but
no, I don't. I agree too. Contact your senators. Contact anyone that's in the government locally. There's a website. I'll link it in the description in the show notes. But you can go on there and you can write your opinion about this. It's the same thing with net neutrality was going around. People were signing petitions and all this. But honestly, if people actually know how the severity of this is going to happen, I mean, I'd rather have, you know, some 13-year-old or some 12-year-old watching a Minecraft video on YouTube than I would frigging them out back smoking getting into smoking and you know what I mean, Isaac?
go smoking a joint in the backyard with that.
Oh, yeah.
Less family-friendly family.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Got the one rebel kid that gets his smokes from his parents and shares them with all the other kids because they're too bored not watching their YouTube anymore.
Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of creators that we watch are, I mean, Gus Johnson, for instance, I know that some of his content is more kid-related. I mean, a lot of his content does not
Gus
involve...
Johnson is not kid-related, Gage.
Some of the stuff, though, could be.
I don't agree with that one.
No.
Okay, that video, okay. No, yeah, some of it could be. All. Like, kids could find that 3 a.m. cat video, like, funny, or that Spotify ad video funny, because, I mean, I don't know, man.
He says, go buy Spotify Premium, you cheap.
Okay. You can say it, Isaac. You can say it.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, anyway. I don't know. This is bad. This is pretty scary for the platform, but I guess
Gage,
we'll
I'm not going to get fined from the FTC.
We're creating adult content. If we get fined, we're all putting our money in the hat, okay?
I'm not helping. If we get fined, I'm running. You will never even see me again.
I'm deleting the channel. I'm moving to Mexico. Jorge will be my name from now on.
Maybe we should just move our we should just get rid of our YouTube channel. Listen to us on Spotify and iTunes and the other don't go to YouTube. Just let's just get rid of it.
Oh, okay.
Gotta stay safe. Some crazy stuff's happening at YouTube.
Yeah. Stay safe, man. Gotta avoid those FTC fines. They're just chucking them at you, you know? Okay. So moving on. So there is a representative, Eric Swalwell, from Sac City, Iowa. And there was a video that went viral of him appearing to pass gas live during a Trump impeachment interview. This caused hashtag Fartgate to trend on Twitter. Isaac, you've seen the video. Brody, you've seen the video?
I think this could be more serious than any other news topic we're talking about today.
Exactly.
I feel like any representatives should have the sheer willpower to hold in gas and never pass it. Okay? You just gotta hold that in, you know? Keep it shut. Do not let it out, okay? I don't care if your stomach feels like it's going to explode. Just keep clenching.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God. Yeah, so this video went viral on Twitter, and people claimed that they heard him farting. Honestly, I don't know what it is. I really don't. The claim was he moved up, and that's what it looked like, so... Hey, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I don't know.
Look, I'm gonna come clean, guys. I'm pretty sure I've passed gas while talking on the microphone. I know that it might be shocking.
I've made a severe and honest.
Please
lapse
don't
in my
bully
judgment.
Me on the internet for this, guys.
I've made a severe lapse in my judgment, and I promise it won't happen again. Logan Paul Suicide Forest reference. Sorry I farted on live podcasting.
Gage, yeah. This isn't live, this is pre-recorded. Don't lie to the people.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
That's what we're doing right now, Gage.
Oh. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you have a Alzheimer's? You're in your bedroom recording, Gage. Remember? You're okay.
Oh, you just wanted to make that joke, didn't you? you wanted to say Alzheimer's at some point during this recording.
No, actually, that was just, it just came up.
Oh, well, he was trying to reference that to the, to a story that I think comes up soon.
I don't know. You said something that sounded like Alzheimer's, and then I was before we were recording, and then I was trying to look up how to pronounce Alzheimer's correctly.
Yeah,
because I didn't know if it was Timers or Heimers.
Yeah, well, Eric Swalwell, now known as the senator. I mean, the representative who farted on live TV.
Hashtag Fartgate. Tesla released a pickup truck recently, and holy cow, could they make it any more disgusting looking? That's really all I have to say about it. I don't care about the specs. I don't care about it towing up to 14,000 pounds, which is a lot, but it's disgusting. It looks so bad. It looks like you went on the N64 and they were trying to render a truck, but it was on like its lowest settings and it was just all polygons. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
So if Tesla increased the poly count on that thing, they'd get more people interested?
I feel like they would, yeah.
They'd get you interested?
I would be more interested in it.
I'm interested in it because, you know what, it doesn't look like... I watched the MKBHD video and he made a lot of good points. This does not look like a standard truck. This doesn't look like a Ford, a Chevy. This doesn't look like a Toyota. It's completely unique. And honestly... I was talking about this last night. First off, it goes 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds. There's three variants. Obviously, that 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds is for the best variant. Obviously, it's made with 30X cold road stainless steel. It has a 500 plus fuel range, which is good. It can tow up to 14,000 pounds. My brother last night was telling me that a Ford F-150 can haul up to around 16 to 18,000 pounds. So,
is that tow just like what it can pull in addition to itself, or is that okay, good. And I mean, that makes sense. Him, so I was just checking.
Yeah. Well, this, I mean, you're not going to buy this to haul campers, you know, fifth wheel campers. This is like going to be something you have, I don't know, because it looks cool. I mean, I can't imagine seeing many up here.
It does not look cool, Gage.
So it has autopilot. It has the three versions. It has a single motor real wheel drive, it has a dual motor all wheel drive, and a tri motor all wheel drive. You can buy it now for $100. You can put $100 down on it. And obviously they won't ship it for a while, but you can pre-order it. And I think it looks awesome, to be honest. I mean, it has that cyberpunk vibe. I actually thought at first it was a cyberpunk.
It does not look cyberpunk. It looks like futuristic gone wrong.
The logo looks cyber. Cyberpunk inside,
is supposed to be like steam pipes and like gears and, you know, bronze. It's just a big metal polygonal shape thing. Like, I feel like they're going for the wrong appeal here. They're going for the wrong style. I can understand doing it if electric trucks were already a thing, but this is the first of its breed. Shouldn't they try to appeal to people who would buy trucks, not to people who like weird futuristic looking polygons?
Well, it's an electric truck, Isaac. I mean, you're not selling to the same market as someone who would buy a Ford F-150 or
Be the people they're trying to sell over. Maybe people who want trucks because of the usefulness of trucks, but even want something keynote, electric too.
Yeah, but even at the keynote, they explained this is like, you know, you got to haul a four wheeler, or they even had this cool camping setup where it had like you could sleep in the back of the truck, which was really cool to me. I mean, I think it's cool. And obviously I don't like Tesla because of them being electric. Like I say this all the time. I like the technology within, right? I'm not a big electric car person. Like if Tesla didn't exist, I wouldn't have any ambition to want to buy a Chevy Bolt or, you know, a Toyota Prius, because I just don't like electric cars.
And I mean, Tesla, the whole electric car thing is pretty much a scam too. Because you're doing it to reduce carbon emissions, but where's the power coming from? It's probably coming from a coal-burning power plant, because renewables are, well, renewables, not useful. And nuclear power is going extinct in this country. So it's just you're getting all the same carbon emissions, plus harmful chemicals in the batteries and whatnot. So if you're going for saving the environment, keep buying gasoline. I mean, but electric cars are cool, I guess. Tesla's have fast acceleration.
Teslas are cool because of the technology. I think what I like mostly about the Teslas is that giant screen within, and they get software updates so often. Like, you know, I drive the, you know, a Tahoe, and the screen, it's still one of the, it's touchscreen, but you know, I can't expect a weekly or monthly, you know, update. Like, there's nothing to this, but the screen in the Tesla is like a full on computer, so you can do anything you want with it. Whether or not that where we should be headed, I feel like eyes on the road at all times. You know, don't really want to distract driving, but I like the technology. I think it's cool. I like what Tesla's doing. I actually considered buying the Tesla Model 3 when it came out, the cheaper entry model Tesla, because it looked cool. But it's just not practical where we live, because, I mean, we live in a rural area.
We live in Maine, for those who don't know.
There are charging stations about 40 minutes away. But I was talking to my brother last night, I said, if there were just as many Tesla charging stations as there are gas stations, it becomes practical. But
well, no, still not, because it takes like a couple hours to get a enough charge to go somewhere.
Well, the fast charging is 30 minutes. So you charge it up for 30 minutes. I mean, 500 miles a week. I mean, I might drive that in a month. But yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. But where Brody is right now, it might be practical because there's probably people in his area who know how to fix the, and that's another thing, mechanical, you know, if something happens to it, who's going to repair it? Everyone around here is used to gas.
I would say that's the biggest turnoff.
Yeah, I mean, what happens if it, like, I can't think of a way it would break down, though, because there's no oil. It, I mean, what, a battery craps a bed? Okay, well.
Well, batteries get less efficient over time.
Yeah, that is true.
They can hold less charge and whatnot.
I went to Massachusetts a couple years ago, and there was a big mall, and they had a Tesla store in there. When I went in, I sat in a couple of their Teslas at the time, and the guy had said something about how they will send a repairman if there's an issue. So I don't know if that means they'll send one like states over, but there's no certified Tesla repair person in Maine anywhere.
Not even I noticed that they're starting to build some Tesla charging stations at Hannaford's and Skowhegan.
Yeah, I said a couple towns over because, yeah, I did. I just didn't want to say the town, but yeah, they are. They're at Hannaford's.
We don't live in Skowhegan. We live near Skowhegan. It's not like that matters, Gage.
Okay. Yeah, so the Tesla truck, I think it looks cool. I like design. I like how it's not standard like everything else. And if I thought it would be practical to own an electric truck in this area, I'd probably buy one. They're also working on electric 18-wheelers. Have you seen those, Isaac?
Yeah, I saw those. Ready? Those released, what, a year ago,
didn't
they? Did
you see the electric ATVs?
ATVs?
Tesla, not, I mean, maybe. But they're not made by Tesla.
Do they?
They are.
I haven't seen these, no.
No.
They were shown off in the same expo. They showed the ATV driving into the back of the truck, if you watch the whole thing.
Oh, I know. With the truck. Was with that? The truck, yeah. Sorry, I'm not a four-wheeler person. I think of them as four-wheelers, not ATVs.
Oh.
Yeah, so you just kind of confused me.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. An electric ATV. Okay, yeah, so I guess it is an electric ATV. I thought it was just a standard. Yeah, but there's no release date on that. I think the ATV looks awesome though. Like that the strip light. No, the best part about this truck and the ATV is the LED blue strip light, like in front of it.
It is?
Like, rather, yeah.
It looks so dumb. I think that looks. Why is it so thin and so long?
I don't know, but they also revealed a trailer. Like a trailer to haul things in. So, I don't know.
That was, if you're going to hook up something to your Tesla truck, you need the official Tesla trailer.
The official Tesla trailer. Only drive Tesla.
I mean, I don't like Tesla because they're anti-right to repair. Similar to Apple. And I feel like anyone, if they have the know-how, should be able to repair their own stuff, should have the ability to get the parts to repair it, and or you should be able to have a business where you repair it. So it's just kind of, I don't like that.
So we got some sports. I know Isaac isn't good.
This is,
I'm just kidding.
This
just
is
kidding.
Not sports. This is not a
yes,
sport.
It is. So, seven-time NASCAR champion Jimmie Johnson announced this week that he's retiring after the 2020 season. The day it was announced, hashtag Chasing8 started trending on Twitter. Obviously, that's a reference to him being a seven-time champion, and this year he's trying to get his eighth championship. So, for those of you who aren't familiar with NASCAR, it's stock car racing. It's mostly popular in America. If you know, you probably heard of F1 over in Europe. That's, you know, so NASCAR. I grew up watching NASCAR. I've gone to a race and in New Hampshire, and you know what? I love it. I think it's great. I actually support Hendrick Motorsports. Hendrick Motorsports has been a team for a long time, but they've only had four drivers who made the team at the same time who made the team good. That was Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jimmy Johnson, and Casey Kane, all of which are gone. Jeff Gordon was my favorite driver. He retired in 2016. Dale Earnhardt Jr. retired back in 2018, I believe. And Jimmy Johnson is retiring after the 2020 season. And Casey Kane hasn't driven for Hendrick Motorsports for a few years now. So the team is definitely 100% different than it was at the beginning of the 2010s. It's actually kind of sad. There's a lot of new drivers. All the old drivers are kind of getting out of the sport because, you know, they're getting old. Not really old, but I mean, driving a race car is kind of dangerous at 200 and whatever miles per hour. And yeah, I mean, I know Isaac doesn't consider this a sport.
Gage, can you explain to me what possibly is interesting about watching it, watching NASCAR? Well,
you see, it's not as fun anymore. I'll admit that. When I NASCAR was, you know, they did around dirt. They were doing it around dirt tracks, and there'd be a lot of accidents. Well, they didn't really have many rules, so. Back in 2001, at the Daytona 500, Dale Earnhardt Sr., which was Dale Jr.'s father, was killed on the final lap. And a lot of rules had started changing because that was pretty scary. That was the first race of the season, and the biggest and most famous driver of the sport had been killed. So they continued as usual. Obviously, nothing stopped with the season, but rules started going into effect years later, and the cars became way more safer, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there also became huge regulations where, you know, causing an accident, which is the only real fun thing about NASCAR, obviously it's not fun for the drivers, but for the people watching, I mean, you got to remember, they're entertainers. They're just like football players and baseball players. Sure, they're athletes, but they're also trying to put on a good show for the hundreds of thousands of people in attendance.
So just kill yourself in a deadly accident. It's for a good cause, you know?
No. Not all of them are deadly. Like, a lot of them are just cool. Like, okay, so back in 2016, I believe, I think it was 2015. Jeff Gordon, my favorite driver, he was my favorite driver when he was racing. They were at Atlanta, I think, they were at Phoenix, and the race was just about over, and Gordon was leading, while Kyle Busch came behind and knocked him out of control. There was an accident. Well, it sprung a fight, and like, it was awesome. It was on TV. They were fighting, and they were like fist fighting, and they broke it up pretty quickly, obviously, because they had both teams breaking it up, but Gordon was pissed because he lost the race because of his car got totaled because of Kyle Busch. It wasn't at the end of the race. I think it was like they were three quarters into the race. They had like, I don't know, probably like 30 laps left. And he was doing pretty well. So I think he was leading at the time and his car was destroyed, which meant he couldn't continue racing. So he lost the race. He didn't finish. And that's what's entertaining about the sport, because things like that are great. But they lose points because it's against the rules. But 30 years ago, or even back in like 2000, if that would have happened, no one cares. That's who they are. Whatever. They broke it up. Whatever. They're men. They'll move on. But yeah, I mean, I know that Brody doesn't watch NASCAR. Isaac doesn't. But it's a cool sport.
I think if you're going to watch racing, I would think F1 would be a million times more interesting because it's not a big ring. It's not just driving around an oval.
They race on the three tracks are really unique. They've got Pocono, they've got a racetrack in Canada, which is an F1 track, and they've got another one. I don't know where that one is. I think it's in the States. That's F1. And I mean, they're not really entertaining because I want to see them go at 275 miles an hour. I love seeing that. And when you're going around twists and turns, it's just not entertaining.
I mean, can you really classify it as a sport? Like, they're calling like professional gaming now a sport. And I mean, it's, I guess technically it's a sport because it's people competitively doing something against each other.
If gaming
and there's a winner,
is a sport, then NASCAR is a sport.
But e-sport? But I feel like there's such a difference between when you think of sports, you think of things like baseball and football with athletes, not
apparently now gaming.
People driving around a ring or sitting in their gamer chairs and going at it, you know, playing CSGO against each other. That's not what comes to mind when you think of sport.
Well, you got to remember, they're a sport is they want to win, and there's a goal, right? And, you know, there's, okay, when you play a video game, there's a lot of different things that comes in, like, you know, getting the most points from doing things. Like some games, you know, you have trick shots or you have stuff that rack up points. In NASCAR, it's the same thing. You know, if you're drifting or you're, you know, you make a certain amount of passes or you lead a lot of laps, you get a lot of points in the standings and you can win the championship.
Wait, so it's not just the first one to finish all the laps?
No, there's a lot to it. You know, if someone leads 30 laps.
I guess it makes it more interesting than it just being whoever completes the most laps first, because everyone's basically in the same car. I mean, obviously,
yeah, well,
they're all going to be pretty similar.
Whoever wins that specific race wins the race. But if you, for instance, let's say Kyle Busch, for example, let's say he leads the most laps out of the race, but he doesn't win, he'll get a significant amount of points on the standings. So then, towards the end of the season, championship time starts coming, and then you have like these rings of people, these drivers, and there's four final people who are eligible to win in the last race at Homestead in Miami, Florida, and they race. And whoever wins with the most points wins the championship. It's a that's not how the championship has gone before. It used to be whoever has the most points wins, but nowadays there's so many extra things, which is stupid about it. They revamped that in the last 10 years, which in my opinion is kind of stupid, but because it just doesn't make it interesting anymore. I mean, back then, everyone would be, so let's say Jeff Gordon had 10,000 points at the end of the season, the final race. Let's say Kyle Busch had 9,990. You know, you can get a couple hundred points a race. So you're kind of on the edge of your seat seeing who's going to win. But when there's only four people that are actually eligible to win, it kind of makes it boring because you know that they're the ones that are going to win versus having 10 of them, you know, that actually have a chance of winning the race and winning the championship. You know, actually winning. So I don't know. They've really changed the sport, and attendance is down a lot at the NASCAR races. You know, Daytona 500 used to be comparable to the Super Bowl. Not anymore. I mean, you look at the seats on the TV and no one's there, you know, and
I mean, why would
I mean,
it's
I don't
just,
I don't even watch
boring.
NASCAR anymore. My driver's retired and I used to watch every race. It'd be every Saturday or Sunday. I'd be on Fox at like 12 or 2 whenever the race started, and I'd watch it. They'd have those. I love the night races. They were the best. And, you know, just don't do that anymore because it's boring. I don't know. I don't know why. They ruined it.
I mean, arguably, I don't watch any sports because I think they're all boring, but.
I agree. I don't I don't really get it. I mean, I like playing sports. I like golf. Golf is I can't watch golf on TV because it's just way too boring.
Man. You're a big golfer, Gage?
Yeah, I love golf.
I've never heard
I
of
go
this.
Golfing whenever I get the chance.
Is it more of the mini golf style of golfing?
No, I like going up to
game?
Diadema, right? And I like teeing off, you know? I've gone a few times this summer. I didn't go as much as I wanted to.
Okay.
You know, you didn't know I was into golfing, Isaac, right? Right?
No, I wouldn't have expected that.
Brody knew. Actually, Dylan's into golfing. We were all going to go golfing at one point. Brody didn't want it.
All right.
No, I do. I like golfing.
You like golfing now?
Yeah, dude, I'd want to go golfing.
So, as everyone knows, the Trump impeachment hearings have been going on this week, and honestly, it's, for lack of a better word, a complete shit show. So, I'm obviously they're trying to impeach him because of the Ukraine phone call that happened a while ago. He released a transcript. There was no quid pro quo. End of story. That should have been how the story ended. But no, of course, they're going at this full force. And they're in the House right now trying to get him impeached. And what's happening is the Democrats are pulling people to testify that have no reason to be testifying because they have nothing. So, for instance, the only notable thing that happened, this guy named David Holmes, who claims he was across from someone in a noisy restaurant, you know, someone sitting on one side, the other guy sitting on the other side, not at the same table, two separate tables. And this guy was sitting next to, well, across from Ambassador Sondland. Well, apparently Ambassador Sondland was on the phone with Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, and they were talking about related to Ukraine. Well, Mr. Holmes claims that he heard from someone talking on their phone that Trump admitted to quid pro quo. So, of course,
this is notable, not on speakerphone, with it up to his ear.
It was
on just regular phone settings. This guy's supersonic hearing reached over and heard what the phone was saying.
Exactly.
What? Dude, so at least come up with a story that's believable if you're making stuff up.
They pulled him in to testify. They pulled both of them in, Ambassador Sondland and Mr. Holmes. And Ambassador Sondland says that Mr. Holmes is saying never happened on the phone call. And honestly, I mean, I have good hearing. I have no, I don't think I'd be able, it was in a noisy restaurant too. It's not like they were across in a quiet room. It was literally, because I've been in quiet rooms before. Someone's taking a phone call and I can hear every word that's on the phone. This was in a noisy restaurant. And I don't know how noisy the restaurant was, but I highly doubt, I mean, unless they're my dad who friggin' puts his volume up to 110%, he puts it up to, like, I swear to God, he's deaf. Unless they're them, I don't think, I don't think they would have been able to hear the phone conversation.
And they wouldn't be discussing something as like, you know, big as that over a phone conversation while one of them's in a restaurant. A scandal, that would not be the place you would discuss it.
But the thing is, the Democrats are trying to pull this off as, oh, well, the Republicans are dumb anyway. You know what I mean? So it's kind of at this point, it's a he said, she said kind of situation, and it's kind of stupid.
The CNN clip you sent me of them trying to pull off the same stunt in-house is just hilarious. He's holding the phone like 6 inches from the lady who he's trying to show that this is like possible to.
But it was on speakerphone.
They can't even tell she's talking. It's not even that they can't make out what she's saying. They were like, okay, talk now. Okay, talk now. And then he puts her on speaker and he's like, you hear? And she's like, yeah, I've been saying hello. And he puts her back, okay, say hello. And then nothing, because they can't hear her while it's 6 inches away from their face.
It made them look like idiots. It did.
Hilarious.
This was on all networks. Throughout the week, this was on all networks. They canceled all their daily programming to put this on CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Fox. All the networks were doing this until
this. This is why the news can't be trusted.
Until Wednesday, they canceled. No one's watching this stuff, so networks have gone back to their regular programming. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. This is what are your thoughts, Brody?
I think, well, wasn't it described as like a noisy scene? Like a noisy restaurant, yeah, or a busy restaurant.
Right, and he said he heard him clearly, loudly and clearly, Donald Trump saying it.
I don't know.
Trump tweeted about this. I saw it. I don't quote me on this, but Trump had tweeted something along the lines of Trump's got the best hearing ever, and he wouldn't have even been able to hear it. And I like Trump, but I laugh at some of the things that comes out of his mouth, more particularly his phone. You know, it just makes me think, does someone like look at these tweets before they come out, or some of them are just funny as hell. But yeah, no, I mean, I think this Mr. Holmes guy is just a lot of crap, and whatever was said on the phone call. I mean, I don't think they had any reason for him to testify, but
Valve is finally releasing another Half-Life game. This is like Half-Life 1.5, because it's in between the first and second episodes. And it's in VR, and they're calling it Half-Life Alyx. I watched the trailer for it. It looks good. I've never really been into the Half-Life games so much. I never played them.
I never did either. I have them. I got there was a Steam bundle a few years ago, and I got like all the Counter-Strike games, and all the Half-Life games and all the Portal games. I just haven't played them. Yeah.
Which, I mean, for people who like Half-Life, this is really great, but it also must be kind of better to people who like Half-Life but don't have a VR headset, because it's in VR and that's it. That's the only way you can experience
I wonder if they'll offer a version without a VR headset. I wonder. I don't know.
I mean, I hope they do.
If the reception is bad, they'll have to do something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But well, then again, if they've only designed it in VR, it's going to take a lot more development to release something that's not in VR.
Right.
Well, who knows? Maybe there is going to be a version that releases. I mean, this comes out in March 2020. A lot can happen in, you know, there's quite a few months. So, I mean, I don't know. It looks cool. You see, Valve hasn't made actual, and they have Dota 2, but the only thing they really release is skins and stuff for it. They haven't made an actual game since like Counter-Strike Global Offense, like, and that was a long time ago. So
make another Portal. That's what I'm saying. If they're going back to making games, make Portal 3. I like Portal games so much.
But Half-Life is the game that everyone likes, you know, for some reason. It's just that popular. And, you know, I never played Half-Life, but when the meme started going around Half-Life 3, it kind of builds hype up. You know what I mean? Like, I tried playing Half-Life 1, like, when I got that bundle, I'm like, and the Half-Life 3 stuff, I installed it, and I tried it, but I couldn't get into it. I don't know. There's something about all Valve games that makes them so similar. But I watched the trailer. In the graphics are looking pretty sick for it being a Valve game compared to the last game, because, I mean, they're not a AAA game company. You know,
yeah, clearly it's not running on the same Half-Life 2 engine that, like, all of the games have run on. Portal runs on that engine, you know. Gary's Mod, I mean, technically Gary's Mod is just modded Half-Life, and it's not made by Valve, but, or not developed by Valve. It's not developed by Valve, it was developed by a guy named Gary. And then I think he sold it out to Valve.
Yeah, because it comes in the Valve pack.
Yeah, I think he sold it out to Valve.
Yeah, I believe if I'm not mistaken, I got Gary's Mod in the bundle. But
I mean, like, there's stuff, it runs on the Half-Life engine.
Yeah, I mean, which, it doesn't matter, but yeah.
Right.
I get you.
And clearly this isn't going to be running on the same engine, so there's been a significant amount of development put into this.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer looks good. I'm interested to see how people react to this. It'll be another scandal. I'm just kidding.
I really hope they get back into the game making side of things, and I hope they start making more exclusive games and more Portals. I want more Portal.
Portal isn't exclusive to. They have a version for Xbox. They also have a Counter-Strike.
I can see them doing exclusive games though. I guess I should have been more clear on that, because like Xbox has got exclusives, PlayStation's got exclusives. Yeah. Now there's other game stores competing with them, like Epic Games.
And Rockstar Launcher. Rockstar's new launcher sells other games, but their main games are their main titles. So I really want to see some unique new ports, some IPs from Valve. I think it'd be cool if they had some new original games they started working on. And who knows, maybe they are, but I think everyone would appreciate Valve coming back to creating games, because and everyone loves their games, and they haven't created one in a long time. I mean, right, they like have Dota 2.
Team Fortress, that was that's still fairly popular to this day. That's an older game, too.
It surprises me how popular that is. Team Fortress 2, yeah. So, I don't know, man. I mean, they just made so much money off from selling other people's games that I think they probably forgot. But, you know, now there's so much competition, like you said. It's kind of like, you know, Origin.
Well, I mean, most of those ones, like you said, the Rockstar launcher, and now there's always been Origin, at least for a long time. But those are mostly just like Origin is like EA games, and Rockstar is probably going to be mostly Rockstar games.
Yeah, but they still sell other people's games.
Right, but no one's going to use their platform because they suck.
No, I like the Rockstar launcher. It has had some problems, but I like it.
I haven't used Rockstar launcher.
I don't like Origin, though.
I hate Origin's launcher. It's terrible. And the overlay for it sucks.
It just doesn't, like, I have two 4K monitors, and it just doesn't scale right, and there's no way to rescale it. They designed it for a 1080p monitor, which sucks, because hashtag
4K, I don't know, I have a 1080p monitor, and I still hate it. It's just bad.
Yeah, well, Steam is optimized for everything, because it's the biggest platform. I think the biggest thing they got going for them is there's no premium version, you know? It's just Steam, and there's no paying to play. There's no nothing. And I know that other platforms do actually have subscription models. I know that, like, Ubisoft has their own, Origin has their own.
Wait, really? You know?
Yeah, you can pay and get access to their games for free. It's basically like that Xbox Game Pass for the
games. Oh, okay, okay.
I thought about doing it because I wanted to play the Battlefield 5 game, but I didn't want to buy it. So, if you got a
Ubisoft one or something, you'd get like all the Tom Clancy's games or whatnot.
Yeah, everything. Same with Origin. You get whatever games EA makes, which is cool.
Play some Sims.
and the Titanfall games.
Oh, yeah.
And the new Star Wars game, I think you will be able to play eventually. Didn't EA make the other two Star Wars games? That was DICE. EA owns DICE, I think.
You said Titanfall. Was Titanfall 1 EA?
Yeah, Titanfall was Respawn Entertainment from EA. EA bought a small company, Respawn Entertainment. They used to work at Call of Duty, the people that founded that company.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it didn't actually used to be called Respawn until after I, yeah. I had a YouTube channel back in the day, Respawn, and I had the URL, youtube.com/respawn, and then all of a sudden the Titanfall game came out, like their first game, and everyone started talking about Respawn Entertainment. I'm like, shit,
Not to be confused with Respawn Media.
Yeah, so I rebranded. I changed my name, Aurora 7 Studios. So yeah, not be mistaken. Now a game company is going to come out called Aurora 7.
Probably.
How you guys' week have been?
How's everyone's week been? Yeah, it's been good. It's cold out. Yeah. Oh yeah. This episode comes out the week that Thanksgiving happens. So, happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving. Isaac, remember, for your Thanksgiving Day presents, go to sicesupply.com, get your own custom size.
No. Buy a mattress at Allswell.
If you want to
academy.com.
If you want to support the podcast, go buy an Allswell mattress. But if you just want to have a nice scythe, I mean, it doesn't help us at all. We're not sponsored by scythesupply.com. But if you're like thinking, wow, my grass is growing really tall here in winter. And I don't want to have those stupid lawnmowers anymore. Go buy yourself a scythe, you know, scythesupply.com.
Anyway, this episode...
Feed the micro herd.
This episode was brought to you by Allswell Mattresses. So, hold on. I got to read this to you guys. So, Allswell believes in the power of a good night's sleep. For all, it's been their guiding principle since launch. So basically, their goal was to create an affordable mattress without sacrificing quality or luxury. The result, the Allswell Queen costs $345 I repeat, that's not a typo. Use the link in the description below. And you can get free shipping, a 10-year limited warranty on any mattress, a 100-night risk-free trial. If you don't like it, they'll give you a refund. And also, financing as low as 0% APR. Okay. We appreciate Allswell supporting the show. By you buying a mattress, you also help us out. So, yeah, hopefully you'll be sleeping on an Allswell tonight.
I'd be quick shipping, jeez.
Well, buy one for your family members for the holidays. You know,
buy one.
The holidays are coming up.
Do it for me.
Yeah, it's almost December, bro.
Yeah, if you're feeling December. Like, wow, I really want to give Isaac a Christmas present. My mattress, it's disgusting. It's an old mattress. Yeah.
So
I would like a new one.
Send one to him.
Please send me a mattress. Us, right?
No, send us all mattresses. Okay? We all
but specifically them. Me first.
Well, yeah. And make sure it's here by Christmas.
Or earlier. You know, I mean, I wouldn't complain if it was after Christmas, but I mean, the earlier the better.
Yeah. Make sure you wrap it up in a bow, too. I don't want that. So yeah, thank you guys all for listening to the fourth episode. Like we said, happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully you're thankful for life and happiness and stuff. And so thank you all for watching. Listening. Thank you all for listening. Isaac Brody, anything else to say?
See you later. Buy your size at slicesupply.com.
See you
thank
later.
You.
Buy a mattress. Thank you. Bye bye. Bye-bye. I feel like I'm on a phone call. Bye-bye. 'I honestly wonder, I know we probably haven't sold any sites, but it'd be funny if we did. Yeah, we've been getting these random link clicks from our from some random podcast. We've been making sites like crazy.